Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon to all of my brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus. This is Radio Shepherd, and I'm so glad that you tuned in today for Monday's Word of Exhortation, which is entitled, Be Ye Not Unequally Yoked with Unbelievers. It comes to us from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, where the Apostle Paul says, Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what koinonia, what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion have light with darkness? And what concord have Christ with Belial? And what part hath an unbeliever with an infidel? And what agreement have the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And that's our text for today. Let's pray. Let's seek the face of our God as we ask him for illumination and understanding concerning the text. Dear Lord God, we come to you concerning this serious matter, this matter about being yoked and how the apostle recommends that we should not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Speak to us, Lord, as we always expect you to speak to us during the time when your word is being taught, preached, expounded. Minister to us, O God. We need words that would really enlighten us and draw us closer to you, and in addition to that, affect the way we live. So bless us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen and amen. It's interesting to note that we find a pattern in the Bible that you have what you call a first epistle and then a second epistle. For example, you have First and Second Thessalonians, and then you have First and Second Timothy, and then you have First Peter, Second Peter, and then you have here First Corinthians, Second Corinthians. Many times in these second books, like in 2 Peter, and as in 2 Thessalonians, as in 2 Timothy, as here in 2 Corinthians, the second books always seem to be dealing with false teachers, false apostles, false gospels, false brethren. Keep that in mind. When you think of 2 Timothy, you're thinking about how the Spirit says in the last days, many shall depart from the faith. And so 2 Timothy has to do with apostasy. And then 2 Corinthians, the same thing, apostasy, false teachers, false gospels. Then you think of 2 Thessalonians, you think of the Antichrist, the last days, the apostate church. Then, of course, 2 Peter. What does 2 Peter write about? False teachers who have crept in the church unaware. So I always try to remember that the second book is always one that highlights to a great extent false teaching and false teachers. And so here in this second letter, Paul is defending his apostleship while at the same time he's doing battle against false teachers. And in this text, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, is Paul's way of primarily saying, separate from these false teachers who are troubling the church of Corinth. In Paul's absence, the false teachers came by Corinth and they tried to pollute the minds of the brethren. They tried to peddle their false teaching and they tried to discredit the ministry of the Apostle Paul, who was greatly used of God to establish the church of Corinth. And so Paul writes to them and says, listen, not only am I a genuine apostle, but these are false apostles. And don't believe anything that they have to say. Don't trust their gospel. Their gospel is heretical. And here he begins by saying, be ye not unequally yoked together with what? Unbelievers. Unbelievers in what? In faith. Because if you're following false teachers, then you're believing their gospel. You're subscribing to their what? Faith. But he's also talking about, when he says about being unequally yoked together with unbelievers, he's also talking about marriages, and he's talking about business ventures. So here the apostle encourages the believers, exhorts them not to join up with unbelievers. Not to join up with unbelievers. Why? Because as we look at the Bible, did anything good ever come out of a relationship between believers and non-believers? Has really not much. Not really much. How did Adam and Eve fare after talking to the serpent? How did they fare? Now the serpent was none other than the devil himself, was he not? Doesn't Paul say here in 2 Corinthians that it was the serpent who beguiled Eve? So the serpent didn't believe God. The serpent, we can categorize the serpent as an unbeliever. Satan was once one of God's angels, was he not? But then he chose to what? To not believe anymore. So can any good come out of having a relationship with someone who primarily has a different opinion? A different opinion about God? If you're a believer and you believe in a seven-day creation, what good can there be by you endorsing someone who believes in evolution? When you believe in a seven-day creation, when you believe that God created and designed the entire universe, that things did not evolve, evolution teaches. So there, there's no compatibility. And so Paul goes on to enumerate. He goes on to enumerate the different things which are incompatible. He says, "What fellowship? What koinonia? What loving relationship, because that's what koinonia is, what koinonia can there be between righteousness and unrighteousness? Would you hang out with thieves and robbers? Would you hang out? Would you enjoy the company of people who do wrong? I don't, and neither should you. So what fellowship, on what basis can there be fellowship or koinonia between righteousness and unrighteousness? And then the Apostle Paul goes on to elaborate. He says, what communion have there between light and darkness? If you notice, as soon as the sun rises, the darkness goes. And once the sun sets, the darkness appears. You never find darkness and light at the same time. They're incompatible. One leaves, the other comes. The other one leaves, another one comes. So there's no compatibility. Listen, what compatibility can there be between Christ, the anointed one, and the worthless one? Belial, that name for Satan, means worthless one. What compatibility can there be between Christ, the one who is worth everything, what the Bible calls the desire of nations? What compatibility can there be between the desire of nations? What would Jesus do by hanging out with Satan? And this is why you see that the only time that they really hung out together, if we can call it that, was when Satan came to tempt Christ. And then after that encounter, we see that Satan departed. Jesus and Satan did not hang out on a regular basis. So how can you, a believer, hang out with the unbeliever? How can you, a child of God, a member of the kingdom of God, a member of the body of Christ, how can you hang out and find common ground? And we're not talking about in sports, because I have unsaved friends that I watch the Super Bowl with. We're not talking about common ground in sports. We're talking about common ground in you can't marry an unbeliever. The Bible tells you cannot marry an unbeliever. The Bible encourages not to go into business with a non-believer. Why? Because they're going to want to skim off the taxes, possibly. Not all non-believers are like that. But someone's going to want to cheat on their taxes, and you as a believer, you're going to say, no, we're not going to cheat on our taxes. Some may not want to report all full income in the business, especially if the business deals a lot with cash. And you're going to say, no, let's report every penny. How did it work out for Samson and Delilah? How did that relationship work out? She gave Samson the haircut. She deceived him. She called upon his enemies to take out his eyes. How did that work out for Samson? It never seems to work out good for the believer when he joins in partnership, whether it be in marriage or in business or even in faith. What agreement can I have with a Satanist? What agreement can there be between me, a person who believes in the Bible, and with a Muslim? What could we have in common? He believes in a different God. I believe in a different God. So we're both religious people. You want to classify us as religious, but we don't possess the same faith. See, we don't possess the same faith. So there's no commonality. And Paul says, this is the word today, be ye not unequally yoked together with whom? Unbelievers. Here's the rule of thumb. If they're not born again, don't partner with them. If they're not born again, you can't get married. If they're not born again, don't go into business. If they're not born again, you can't do anything of a spiritual nature with them. I know some pastors who have prayer meetings with Muslims and rabbis. And I mean, when they have these ecumenical movements, I remember one time when they had the World Trade Center and the collapse of the towers, and they called for an ecumenical service, and there was some ministers there with some American Indians dancing on the podium, on the platform, and then they had some Muslims and they had some crazy people all up there, and they're all praying, but they're all praying to their different gods. What kind of unity? What kind of fellowship can you have hooking up with people who believe in reincarnation? there was people up on the platform who believed in reincarnation. So, you see, Paul says, don't do it. And this is why, again, if you can always remember, 2 Thessalonians deals with the Antichrist, the end of days. 2 Timothy, the same thing. Perilous times will come, Paul says to Timothy in 2 Timothy. Why? Because we're living in an apostate season. So you have 2 Peter, you have 2 Thessalonians, you have 2 Timothy, and now 2 Corinthians. When you look at the second books, there's always this battle going on, this contending of the faith, if you will, over your soul. And the enemy of your soul, Satan, is trying to hoodwink you by getting you to believe, by getting you to feel comfortable, by getting you to let your guard down, that it's okay, that it's palatable, that God has signed off on the fact that you can hook up with non-believers. And Paul says no. He says absolutely not. You cannot hook up together with unbelievers. Again, we're not talking about sporting events. We're not talking about going to the same university with unbelievers. No, it has to do with, like I said, has to do with business, marriage, and your faith. You can't. And in the Old Testament, you could not yoke, you couldn't put a plow on an ox and a donkey. That was prohibited. Mixed marriages in the Old Testament were prohibited. You know that you could not put idols. You couldn't put idols in God's house, whether in the tabernacle or whether in the temple. No idols. You see, this is why you find that in the Roman Catholic Church, they're full of idols. But not in a Christian church. We wouldn't. Idols? No, get those things out of here. Because we take this word of God serious. Where it says in verse 16, what agreement have the temple of God with idols? What agreement? There is no agreement. There is no agreement. No way we could accept that. And so the same way you couldn't trape in, you couldn't bring in a bunch of idols and put them in the house of God, is the same way you cannot marry an unsaved person. Or you should not go into business with an unsaved person. And you should not kneel together, allowing this person to chant to their God while you're calling on your God. Doesn't work that way. So Paul says, what harmony is there between Christ and Belial? In the Greek, the word harmony or concord, King James it reads concord, in the NIV it reads harmony, but the Greek word is symphonis, S-U-M, like some, sum, and then P-H-O-N-E-S, symphonis. And basically symphonis means, for example, listen to Christian music. You can see the word sum means together, and phone is sound. So listen to the hymns, play a hymn, and then play rock and roll. And you'll see that one is sacred music and the other is profane music. That the lyrics in sacred music point to God, and that the lyrics in rock and roll music either point to the flesh or point to the devil. Two different sounds, two different lyrics. So do you understand, my brothers and sisters, what Paul is saying here? And why we are exhorted not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers? Why? Because you believe one way and they don't. The ungodly do not believe in what the godly believe in. And so it would be ridiculous on our part, it would be ridiculous for us to join up with people in any kind of a relationship, whether it be marriage or whether it be business. Why? because they have a set of beliefs and you have a set of beliefs. And the two set of beliefs are opposing. Doesn't the Bible say, how can two walk together unless they agree? Doesn't the Bible say that? Of course it says that. So, again, Paul says, beginning at verse 14, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? Right living? What agreement can there be between right living and wrong living? What agreement or what communion is there? What communion? Remember, as soon as the sun rises, darkness flees. As soon as the sun sets, darkness reappears. You never see them together. What concord, what similar sounding sounds does Christ make with Belial? None. What part have a believer with an infidel? Now, it's interesting because the word part there means inheritance. You see, a believer, where is a believer going to end up? In heaven. Where is an infidel going to end up? In hell. You see, we're going to two different destinations. One is going up, the other one's going down. What agreement have the temple of God, the living God, with idols? God, the God that we serve, he's invisible and he's alive. Yet these idols are visible, yet they have eyes and cannot see. They have ears and cannot hear. They have hands but can't deliver anyone. They have feet and they can't save. So what agreement is there between the living God and idols? There is none. And since there is none, you and I cannot alter the rules. You and I cannot establish fellowship when God has said there can be no fellowship. For you and I to establish fellowship with the world, with the devil, is to go against God, is to be in outright rebellion. For you and I to say, well, you know, let's become one with all of these other faiths. Well, don't you realize that that is Satan's master plan for these last days, to have a one world religion? That's the master plan. To have a one world religion. Cannot. Yes, you can go to a ball game with anybody. You're watching a ball game. It's a 9-inning game. Extra innings, let's say 12. Okay, after the 12 innings are over, that's it. The game's over. Being in the same stadium with unbelief is over. There's no permanency in that fellowship. But marriage, there's permanency in marriage. There's permanency in business. When you take on a partner, you're taking on a partner for the duration of the business. So it's like getting married. You're just getting married to a business partner. So Paul says, don't be unequally yoked together. Because one person is pulling one way and another person is pulling in another direction. One person has one worldview, and another person has another worldview. In this person's worldview, God is not part of their world. God is not part of their world. They are what we call ungodly. Remember 7-Up, the uncola, which meant it had no cola? Well, the godly want more of God, and the ungodly want nothing to do with God. And as soon as we acknowledge that, we will save ourselves a whole lot of trouble. Well, that's it for today, saints. Be ye not unequally yoked. And let's hear this hymn. Let's hear it. And instead of surrendering, instead of surrendering to a Delilah, instead of surrendering to a Rehoboam, instead of surrendering to business partners, why don't we surrender to Jesus? All to Jesus I surrender. And don't forget to tune in tomorrow for our prayer meeting, the most important service at Love Remnant Tabernacle Radio Church. This is Radio Shepherd signing off. Let us all sing together, All to Jesus I Surrender.